Thank you. Thank you very much to the organizers for giving me the opportunity to attend this very nice program and to present my work today. So I would like to present a framework to quantify irreversibility induced by a quantum measurement, and in particular, continuous weak measurement. This will be the goal. So it's a project that has been started by these people together with Andrew, and it is now continued. So in Andrew's group by Srinath, who is with a PhD student at the University of Rochester, and myself, who just joined the group. So the scenery that I will be speaking about is this one. So we have some quantum system, and it is coupled to a measuring apparatus, and potentially to some external drives that may change in time, it's Hamiltonian. And even though there is no thermal bath involved, there will be some irreversibility of the dynamics of the system because of this measuring apparatus that is doing some stochastic effects on the system because of the stochasticity of quantum measurements. And this is basically what we want to quantify, to which extent this is similar to thermal irreversibility. And okay, just to relate with this morning's talk, here I'm considering that the measurement outcomes are indeed red, and that's why the superposition between the system and the measuring apparatus is indeed collapsed, and that's why we will have some irreversibility. So this is the case in which we are used to have to quantify irreversibility. So a system, a classical system, for example, in contact with a thermal bath. And so we have some part which is the part we control. We are doing the external drive. And some part we don't control. The thermal bath acts on the system in a way so we can't control. So will correspond in unitary evolution. And this is how we are used to split work and heat. And from macroscopic classical system, we have the second law of thermodynamics, which can be expressed like this. So the entropy production is positive, and we have the entropy of the system, the change of the entropy of the system, and minus Q over T. And one way to derive this, is to consider the thermal bath as inducing some stochasticity in the dynamics of the system. So why? Because the stochasticity comes from the fact that we don't know exactly how this thermal bath is behaving. We can't control everything that's happening in this huge thermal bath. And then if we look at the evolution of the system, it will follow some trajectories in its phase space that we consider as stochastic. And each trajectory, each sequence of states, will appear with some probability. And from this, we can construct thermodynamic quantities at the level of single realization of a thermodynamic process, which will correspond to one single trajectory. And this allowed to derive this macroscopic second law from this stochastic picture. So the question I want to ask is, can we do the same thing in this case, where we have a kind of formal analogy with, is that, now we have also some stochastic transition, but they're not anymore induced by a thermal bath, they are induced by a measuring apparatus, but there are still some formal analogy. There will still be some trajectories of the system, which are called the quantum trajectories. And now, one difference is that there will be in Hilbert space, so these states will be quantum states, but we can still define the probability of this trajectory to occur. This is what quantum mechanics tells us. And now we can check if we can do the same, derive the same kind of quantities. So I will speak about the notion of time reversal and what kind of time reversal we can choose in the case of quantum measurement, and how this leads to a way of quantifying irreversibility, which allows to derive some fluctuation theorems. So, for classical thermal case, what has been used is this kind of definition for the entropy production. So, the idea is to compare the probability of your trajectory. So, this F means forwards, means in your actual process, the probability of your trajectory, the sequence of state to occur, and you compare it with this PB of X tilde, which is the probability of the time reverse trajectory, so the reverse sequence of states. And in another protocol that you take as a reference, and this protocol that is called time reverse is contained a time reverse drive. So you change, you do your drive, what you control, do it for backwards. And the bus is just act the same. So it still do dissipation or the same way. And if you use this reference, you can show something which allows to derive the second law of thermodynamics when you average, So when you average this quantity over all the forward trajectories, over all the realization of the forward process, which is the one you want to study. And what we can ask is, could we do the same thing, just the same recipe for a quantum system being measured? So we just say, no, we keep the measuring apparatus unchanged, and we take the same recipe. We try to find this time reverse trajectory. And the problem is that, generally, it won't work because this protocol will never generate this exact reverse sequence of states. So this is more a problem of going into a Hilbert space that changing the thermal bus or a measuring apparatus. And a simple way to see that is to take an example like this. So we have a qubit, no drive, and we are doing projective measurement of sigma z. And if we start in a superposition of the two eigenset of sigma z, we do a measurement, you have two possible trajectories like this. And now if we want to undo if we want to generate the reverse trajectory by applying the same measurement, we will never go back to the superposition. So this is something, this protocol will never generate the reverse trajectory, which are 0 to plus or 1 to plus.
But this initial state, this plus, was not an outcome of your apparatus.
Sure.
So this was not, this is not an X in your sequence.
What?
You have a sequence of outcomes.
Yeah.
So now you're looking for the reverse sequence. Mm-hmm. And this plus was neither in the forward nor in the backward.
Okay.
So what is
so you, if you could imagine starting indeed from this one of these two and having some drives that will prepare this superposition. I mean, if you want more context. But in general, the fact that in quantum system you can have this kind of coherences in the eigen basis in which you are measuring makes that that we have this problem. You can't always generate the backward sequence of outcomes of states. You can't always. You have to be the point I want to make is that you have to be less strict in your definition and time reversal. And actually, you have two choices that you can do. So the first one, and I think is what you have in mind, we can say, okay, we don't really want to generate the exact backward sequence of states. We only require to reverse the sequence of measurement outcomes. So, and if we do this, okay, we will find some other trajectory that is not the reverse sequence of states, but this is still a good, a physical way to define time reversal, which is very useful for cases, in particular when you want to go back to to treat the thermal case. And this has been used in several papers. And today we'd like to use the opportunity to advertise this review that I wrote with Hamet Mohammadi, and it will be in this upcoming book about quantum thermodynamics that is being co-edited by several people here, and which will be about which is about working and entropy production along quantum trajectories, and we'll present that presents this approach. But today I would like to explain another way that you can have to define this time reversal. And the idea that you can say, okay, now we allow the measurement to change. We don't want to do the same measurement forward and backward. And if we do this, we are able to generate the exact sequence of states reversed. This is what I want to focus on today. So more formally, what we want to do. So the forward measurement, a weak measurement generally, can be described by a cross operator. So which is an operator that relates your state before the measurement with the state after the measurement. And here the proportional is because the state in general is not normalized, and this state is not normalized, and you have just to renormalize it to get a normalized quantum state. And this cross operator, so it depends on the outcome that you get in your measurement. And it has to satisfy this relation to be a good pure VM and to ensure that probability of the outcomes will add up to one. And so what we want is that to define another measurement that will bring back our state or post-measurement state to the previous one in the trajectory. And this for we want this for any outcome. So this corresponds to having another measurement that is proportional to the inverse of this operator. And this for any measurement. And we want it also to satisfy this, so to be a regular POVM. And if we are able to find this, then we can compute the probability of these forward and backward trajectories. And they won't be the same in general, because if we want to undo our measurement, it's still a stochastic process. We still have to get the right outcome to be able to go back. So there will still be some finite probability. And we can compare them and define like this what we call a whole time measure. So we don't pretend this is entropy production. And actually, you will see that in some other cases, it doesn't coincide with entropy production, but it is something that will tell us what is in which direction the events are going. So what is the role of time?
So what is the meaning of this sequence X now? Is it outcomes or is it?
So X is a sequence of states.
So sampled at a certain time. Is there a time interval between?
So it's it's a continuous measurement, but you can see it as a discrete sequence of weak continuous measurements that are each described by this, by the cross operator like this.
But you assume measurements which leave the state pure.
Yes. So
because you have always pure states there, you could have measurements which take you to a mixed state.
That's true. So here I am assuming. So efficient measurement in this sense.
So x0 is some initial wave function.
X0 is some initial wave function.
According to some time-dependent Hamming problem.
So this m can both describe some drive plus the measurement in general. You can include some time, then we have some time-dependence labeling of this cross operator that I didn't explicitly wrote here. But you can have
you can include both things.
You can include both things, yeah. So.
What if you cannot infer?
So something I want to come about. So of course, this not all POVM will be invertible. So this won't work in any case. So, but if you are able to find this, you can do like this. So I'm assuming that you are able to do this, and there is a case where you can always find this POVM that reverts the direct measurement. It's a case of qubit. So if you do qubit and weak measurement, so no projective measurement, you can always find this backward measurement, and you can prove that it can be written like this. So with this theta is a time reversal operator, which for qubit takes this simple form. So k is just the complex conjugation of coefficients for complex numbers, and I sigma y, this is a polymatrix. So this time reversal operator would typically swap the two states the two sigma z eigenstates. So if you take like this, if you take this measurement, you will always have something proportional to the inverse of this forward measurement. So maybe let's take example to see how this behaves. So one first simple example is if we do the continuous measurement of sigma z of a qubit. So in this case, the cross operator can be written like this. So it's two Gaussian functions. So this is the operator like this, the Gaussian function of the operator sigma z. And if we start in some superposition of the two eigenstates of sigma z, so we will have some stochastic trajectory like this, which we do some fluctuation, and which will eventually end into one of the poles of the Bloch sphere. Okay, so now let's try to apply our definition. And what we find is that the measurement that will undo this sigma z measurement is actually the same measurement when you get minus the outcome that you add in the forward measurement. So this means that this dispersive measurement is able to revert itself spontaneously if you are lucky enough to get exactly the minus the previous outcome. So in this case, if you just wait longer and you are lucky, you can find the backward trajectory happening. And now you can compute the probability of these two events to occur, and compute the arrow of time measure. And in this case, it's analytical if you have no drive, and has this form. You can also compute the probability of this arrow of time measure, and in the case where you start in this state, it has this form. It's always positive, and the average is increasing while you are increasing the measurement duration. So you are getting more and more irreversible the longer you measure. Let me present another example.
What means measurement duration? I mean, you have instantaneous measurement. I don't know what it is.
So it's a continuous measurement. So I have a sequence. I apply this cross operator. This cross operator many times, one after each other, and it corresponds to. A wall record, which is many outcomes, and this corresponds to my. Continuous measurement.
So the dt is a measurement.
So this dt is a time, if you want, between two measurements, if you have a discrete vision of the.
And that's what you change basically in this plot.
No, this dt is fixed. What I've changed is the number of times I apply this cross operator on the qubit.
Okay.
It corresponds to measuring longer.
In an actual experiment, this little delta t is the resolution of your.
Yeah, you can see that this is the time resolution of your measurement.
Is there also the nucleic information? Is that also in there or not?
Okay, so it's not a quantum jump measurement. So in this case, you will always have a value. So your measuring apparatus will give you every dt a value of r.
Right.
That corresponds to some Gaussian distribution, so it's a continuous value, up to your resolution, of course, but it's a continuous value.
So they call these diffusive quantum trajectories as opposed to jumpy quantum trajectories.
And the other problem when this dt goes to zero and you reach this continuous limit with the Zeno effect.
Okay, in this case, because the rate of extracting information it remains finite. This is this gamma m that tells you. The rate at which you are measuring. So in the continuous limit, your measurement becomes projective if you want only if you measure during a time which is gamma minus one. If you measure shorter than that, you have just some small effect on the system.
You talk about irreversibility. How do you measure it? In the next slide, you were mentioning that it becomes less.
Okay, so what I am measuring is this, so what I introduced before, the ratio of the. The ratio of the forward and backward probabilities.
This is for a certain trajectory.
Yeah, so this is for a certain trajectory, and then you can average it.
So forward.
Yeah. So this is for a certain trajectory that is characterized by these outcomes, this string of outcomes. And this is a probability distribution for a large number of trajectories. And it looks like this.
Could you not just integrate that quantity over the forward distribution and you can see it as a relative entropy?
Sorry?
If I take this log of P forward over PB and I integrate that over PF, do I get the Kullback-Leibner convergence between PF and PB? So I can see that as a measure, right? Like the
sure. You can get this analytically anyway.
But I mean, definition of Q is like log of PF over PB.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I integrate that over PF, then I get some relative entropy, right? Between
continuous,
PF and PB,
continuous. It's a continuous one.
John, there is some subtlety. It's like Kullback-Leibler, but there is some subtlety you'll talk about in a minute that makes it a little bit different.
Okay, like, so it's
similar, but there's some difference. I'll guess it's coming to that.
But I think the point of John is that also is a good measure of irreversibility. That's what he wants to say.
On average.
Okay, so the reversibility is always average.
So we'll come back to this issue at the end.
What are the vertical lines?
What do you mean? The unit?
The vertical lines.
Ah, sorry, this is the average for each color. Each color is different duration time. And and these lines are the average. And when time is increasing, so this green curve is longer, corresponds to the longest measurement, and the average is the highest.
But why? So the x axis is time or this q? Mm.
So this is q because I am plotting the probability distribution of q. Okay. So this is a p of q as a function of q.
It's the probability of having a certain value of q given that value of q.
Yeah, and each color is a different time, a different measurement duration.
When you generate plenty of forward and backward trajectories, so then you can do a probability distribution of q, which is plotted, and from that you can.
Yeah, but what
is the duration here of the x-axis?
So duration. It's not an axis. It's okay.
This vertical line at value 3. What is that?
Okay. So each color, blue, red, green, correspond to three different durations.
Yes.
Okay. And blue is the shortest duration, and green is the largest duration. Okay.
So
red is in the middle.
Horizontal scale is also time.
No.
It's Q.
So for each duration, you have a different distribution. There are three different times, three different distributions.
It turns out that with time, the average is increasing, so it follows this axis because...
That's the average then.
Yeah.
Okay.
This line is the average, and it's increasing. Okay?
That's the average.
Let me go for another example. Which is the heterodyne measurements.
It just says that in time, irreversibility measured in your Q is increasing.
Yeah, that's true.
That makes sense, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
That's a good result.
yeah, that makes sense. So now I consider the heterodyne measurement of the fluorescence of a qubit. So a qubit is spontaneously emitting light, and if you amplify this light and detect the quadratures, this corresponds to this kind of force operator. So just I'm insisting on the fact that this is spontaneous emission, so this is at zero temperature. So this is a case in which the usual entropy production will be infinite. So won't be able to really quantify what's happening in this kind of things. And here this is a case where this framework is able to do things. So this is the cross operator that you obtain, where this an and bn are the two quadratures that you measure at time n. And the dynamics that result of measuring this continuously during some time is a trajectory like this, so it's a diffusive trajectory in the Bloch sphere. And as it is spontaneous emission, in the end it will always go towards the south pole of the Bloch sphere, but there are some fluctuations like this. And I don't know if you remember some of them who were already there, but Benjamin showed us some experimental plots corresponding to this measurement. And if we start in the state plus, so we have many trajectories, they are behaving like this. So there is some stochasticity, but there is also some deterministic component. It is that the fact that all the trajectories, they live on the volume that is going towards the south pole. So I am insisting on that because you see that after some measurement duration, for example, 3 microseconds, we never go back to this initial state. So by keep measuring, we won't be able to generate the backward trajectory. We start, for example, here, and then go back to the plus initial state. So we have to do another measurement.
But this is because there is inefficiency. In your model, there is no inefficiency, and you could stay on the blocks here itself.
Stay on the blocks here, but you still go towards the ground state in any case, right?
Yes, but you could accidentally, and trajectory could go back to the equator.
So here, is this happening? You mean that you know, you will this picture is not valid?
This picture is in absence of finite efficiency at efficiency 1,
yeah.
Which is your consideration when you see
sure.
Pure states. There are trajectories that go out of the plus x state and go back to the plus x state.
Okay. So let's forget about this right now. So the idea is, how can you undo this measurement? So what you can find is that the measurement that will always be able to generate the backward trajectories corresponding to this measurement scheme will be this one. So this is obtained using the definition that I presented before. And how can we interpret this measurement? So formally, this measurement can be understood as a measurement of sigma minus, and this one formally corresponds to a measurement of sigma plus, so something that a zero temperature bath will generate. So this seems maybe a bit strange, but actually this is not something you would have to implement if you want to test to compute the irreversibility of some system. This is just the reference we take to say to compute the probability of this. Of undoing the measurement, so you, at the end, you always compute things that depend on your forward process. So, and what you find, so using the same definition as before, is that you have some distribution which look like this. So this is the same thing as before. These three colors are the three different durations, and we see that once again, the average is increasing with the duration of the experiment. Of the measurement, and this is okay. The average remains finite, even though we are at infinite zero temperature. So this is clearly not the same thing as entropy production. That will be always infinite in this case. But here we are able to have. So it's another scale, in some sense. But here we are able to see the difference between these different durations, and see the irreversibility, the different degree of irreversibility in this case.
So you say that entropy reduction is infinity in this case simply because you are
of the beta.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So it's already okay, yeah. Okay. And there is some heat dissipated in the bath, and so, yeah. So don't let me say about the fluctuation theorems we can have in this case. So we want to look at this quantity, and just we don't want to do as it is often done in the case of a thermal bath, for example, do some initial and final projective measurements on our system because we want to study the irreversibility of a weak measurement. And if we had a strong projective measurement on it, the effect will be mixed together. So we will have the irreversibility both of our continuous measurement and of the final projective measurement. So we want to try to quantify the irreversibility just of the continuous weak measurement. So that's why we don't want to do this. So what do we find if we compute this? We find that there is indeed a fluctuation theorem that is valid and which takes this form. So this value, this average over the forward trajectories is 1 minus mu, and this number is between 0 and 1. And this, the fact that the value of the exponential minus the error of time is equal to something lower than one. This is something that already that has been already identified in some other system, in classical systems in particular, and it has been called absolute irreversibility. So I will come a bit more, I will detail a bit more why this kind of phenomenon can happen. Just right now, I want to give just more detail about this mu. So this mu is can be expressed like this as a function of your global cross operator that corresponds to the sequence of all the cross operators that you apply on your system. So this calligraphic M just corresponds to the complete measurement during some finite time t. And so you can compute this mu like this. And
what is x-bar? X-bar is zero.
Yeah, I will just come back on it after that. I will detail after.
Sorry.
And just what I wanted to say that, so as you have this number which is always between 0 and 1, this implies that the average of 2 will be always greater than 0. So we'll add this notion of error of time, which is always positive in average. And actually, when this mu is low, is non-zero, we have that this q is larger than a positive value, so it's always strictly positive. In some sense, there is no way of doing this measurement in a reversible way as long as we have this mu. So this is why it has been called absolute irreversibility, because there is no quasi-static way, or in some sense, to do the measurement, and which would lead to a reversible dynamics. That's why it's kind of tighter than the usual.
I find this very interesting. So, is there a way to interpret mu? So, for example, can you give me some limits, like when mu is
sure? I will speak about this. Okay. Yeah.
What do you mean by quasi-static?
No, we have this picture in mind that for classical system in contact with the thermal bath, if you do a transformation in a quasi-static way, this will correspond to a reversible transformation. I'm just not going more into detail more than that. And with continuous measurement, there is no equivalent of this. You always have this average error of time that is strictly positive, unless this mu is zero. And so I can comment here. So let me explain a bit more if we can understand when this mu can be zero. So x0 is the initial state of the system in the forward process, and x0 bar is a state which is orthogonal to it. So as I'm considering a qubit, it's always well defined, zero orthogonal state. And you see that to have this mu which is equal to zero, we have this mu equal to zero if x naught is an eigenstate of this m dagger m, which is the effect operator, so which quantifies the effect of the measurement. So if the measurement has no effect, meaning that this m dagger m x naught is proportional to x naught, then we have x naught, the overlap of x naught and x naught bar, which is zero, and that means that we have we can at least possibly reach this average value of q equal to zero. But as long as this measurement has some effect on the system, it will project a little bit onto x naught bar, and then we will have a non-zero mu, and we will have a strictly positive error of time. So the only way to have a zero error of time will be to have no effect on to have the system already in an eigenstate of what we are measuring. So as long as the measurement has some effect, we'll have a positive error of time, and that's why I was saying that you can't do your measurement in a reversible way in this sense. Just to understand a bit more why this non-zero value of mu is coming from, so this is something that is already also present in some classical system. But so let's consider that I'm starting, so this axis represents the possible initial states of my system. So these are the possible finite states. So this is one single forward trajectory, and can do many others starting in the same state, and we'll have different initial states. And as I'm doing a continuous measurement, actually I can have a continuum of possible finite states. Now let's try to reverse. So I start from this, for example, this finite state, and I apply my my measurement that is able to reverse my trajectory. So what can I find? I can find, of course, the trajectory that is the exact backward trajectory that I wanted, but there are also other outcomes that can occur, and they will generate other trajectories. And now, when I compute my term here, I can write it like this. So something which is the integral over the probability of the backward trajectories, but it's integrated over the forward trajectories. So this is a bit complicated, but this just means that we are basically summing these probabilities, but only counting the ones that have a forward counterpart. The ones that don't have a forward counterpart, they are not in this sum, and that's why we get something which is lower than one. We are not considering all the possible backward trajectories, because this one, they are possible in this backward process, but they add no forward counterpart. They are not associated to a forward trajectory.
Sorry, I'm slow. Just going from the second, say again what you said, the very last thing. I followed up until this part.
In this formula, what we are saying is that we are taking this distribution of all the possible backward trajectories, and we are summing over the forward trajectories only.
Okay. So there is a one-to-one correspondence between x and xt. Otherwise, this integral doesn't have any meaning.
So there is a correspondence. There is a one. So
function of x, right?
Yeah.
I hope.
So for each x, I can associate a x tilde. But there is no bijection in the sense that for x tilde, there is not always a x that corresponds.
But you're summing over x.
Yeah. So I can always, that's why I have this. So it's not, I'm not summing over all the possible x tilde, I'm summing only over the x tilde who have some x corresponding to it. Mm-hmm. But this probability distribution is normalized in a larger space that corresponds to all the x tilde.
The sum here, you restrict it to pfx equal different from 0.
Yes.
You can also extend it to the case where pf is actually equal to 0, no? Why are you restricting
it? This is from the beginning, this quantity is defined for the trajectories that exist.
Yes.
Yeah, this is something that you define as a
developer. It's 0, it doesn't make, you can put it in the sum, right? They will not count.
The problem is that this thing will diverge.
Doesn't really have any physical, I don't see the physics here.
But classically, this happens if you have a free expansion of a gas,
yeah.
Right? But then they have backward trajectories and they're not all go.
It's the numerator entity over here.
That average is an average over the PF of X.
Yes.
That's the meaning of that symbol. So why are we excluding some cases? Okay, if it is zero, that doesn't...
Yeah, the problem is this quantity will be infinity, so infinity times zero is not defined. You have to...
Then the quantity is not defined.
It is defined for every trajectory in which pf is non-zero. Okay. There is a way... Okay.
So, I mean, this bracket, the meaning of that is average over pf of x. Regardless of whether it is zero or whether
I understand.
It's,
let me go back here. The thing.
Just sometimes use it in one way.
Sure.
I don't understand.
So the thing is that here I have hidden some technical details. It is the definition is not exactly this. It we have to take the absolutely continuous part of this. Or is it of this PB, which means that you don't take always PB, you take PB when this guy is non-zero and zero when this guy is zero.
So you put in what you want to get out.
No, I'm saying that my only physical process is this one, and I am defining some reference that I want to compare to it. And my reference is like this.
It seems like there's arbitrariness in how you actually set up the backward path. Like some arbitrariness.
I mean, I can do the backward pass of a pass that doesn't occur.
I think even if you could impute PF equal to zero, this would not change the fact, okay, mathematically, if you get, I don't know what to do with the diagonal, but physically it would still mean that you have some, that your space expands, you know?
Yes.
Even if you take the forward trajectory, which have the probability zero, this does not change the physics that he explained, that to some final point, xn, you can get more initial points than the one you use to get to this final point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this does not change whatever if you consider or not PF equal to zero.
Sorry to insist on this, but
yeah.
If I go again to these measurements that you were considering the inverse, no?
Yes.
But one measurement is the inverse of the other, so for me it's hard to understand that there is one direction that is preferred.
Okay, this one is the inverse. If
this is the good one.
If you get the good sequence of outcomes, it's stochastic. So, if I get the good sequence of outcomes and I go back on my pass.
Yeah,
if I get another sequence of outcomes, which are still possible in this reverse measurement,
sure.
I won't go back.
No, but.
Yeah, so the question is why this one does not exist in the forward?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that I understand that for one trajectory, but you are averaging over all, so I get the feeling that all trajectories, because you are.
This depends. There are many things, but this depends in particular of your initial condition.
Mm-hmm.
So if you add some probability in your initial condition, you say, okay, I don't start every time in the same trajectory. I start in the same state, sorry. I start sometimes in this state, sometimes in this state. Then in your global probability distribution, this trajectory might have some probability.
Okay. So now take an initial probability distribution that is continuous.
Yeah.
So you have all possible distributions at the beginning. Then I would expect that you would get one here.
So, okay. We can discuss of this about after. There are some more subtleties because I mean that are coming from the fact that you are doing a continuous measurement. But I will rephrase it like this: if you have some, you introduce your resolution, experimental resolution. You say I have some dx that I can, and I am on my some dx note that are the possible state in which I can start, and I have some finite resolution, and I do some, and I initialize my system with some finite probability in all these states with this resolution, and I do the same thing from my finite state, and then you sum over all this x naught and all this xn with this resolution, and at the end you can make this absolute irreversibility disappear. This is not very natural because generally when you do a measurement, there are situations when you want to do a measurement, you start in a pure state, which is not diagonal in the Eigen bodies you are measuring. I mean, this is kind of the canonical situation when you have no thermal bath, as it is the case here. But okay, this is something we can discuss. I will. Yeah.
You said that in fact the trajectory, your probabilities are depending on the initial conditions. So where in mathematically, where do the initial state appear? It's when you do the product, the average.
It's just that your trajectory starts in your initial state, right? So here it is, for example. And when you repeat your experiment, you can say, oh, I start always in this initial state, or I start with another state, I draw my initial state from some distribution. This corresponds to the situation you want to describe. It's So I was considering the case, you start in always the same pure state, and then you have this absolute irreversibility that's coming in, except when your measurement has no effect on the system, when you are already in an eigenstate of your measurement.
So from a physical, some physical processes that might lead to this absolute irreversibility, or like the expansion or something. Or
yeah, exactly. This kind of processes.
Removing a barrier.
Exactly.
From,
and you have kind of the same thing as happening in the sense that you are starting in a pure state, which is always this pure state. You have no probability to be in the other part of Hilbert space,
so
and you are
sorry
at the end.
I know. So classically, it would mean like you have some
some phase space, and then somehow you have a process which maybe doubles the size of the phase space.
Yes, yes. Kind of like analysis. Yes, you have some forbidden region of phase space initially that gets populated by the.
This thing was debated already in the literature.
Sure, sure. I'm not saying it's new.
It's like instantaneous expansion, yeah. So the space becomes
It is just something that naturally occurs.
So what's the result? I mean, if you express the initial wave function in the L2 of the final thing, you're not going to get this problem.
For me, it's not a problem. It's just some physical features that's happening when you do quantum measurements. It's just some. Sorry. Okay. So just to finish quickly, so we can compute. So the both sides of this fluctuation theorem, so the lines are the average, and the markers are the other side, right? Of course, they coincide numerically, and we can do it for different measurement schemes. So this is the heterodyne I presented before, the dispersive measurement of sigma z, and we can do also, for example, homodyne measurement, which corresponds on measuring only one single quadrature of your fluorescence of your qubit. And we see that we have different values of this mu. So in some sense, we have different degree of irreversibility that can be associated to all these measurement schemes. And that's my conclusion. So we can, with continuous measurement, can generally be reversed exactly by another measurement. And if we look at this, take this probability for this other measurement to occur to define your time reversal, you get some arrow of time measure that fulfills the fluctuation theorem just as entropy production. And you can do things that are for non-thermal initial state. You don't have to do projective measurement at the beginning and at the end. This is what is nice. You can go for zero temperature. So this is what this framework allows. And you find that in general, there is absolute irreversibility, except if you do some special initial states where you have a range, as we have discussed just now. Thank you for your attention.
Okay, so we already had a lot of questions, but maybe one or two others.
Yeah, I would like to know if you say you have standard Born Markov circular mass equations, say we have simple jumps between eigenstates with locally dual balance. You know what I mean?
Basically. Yeah.
So, and there you can also apply the standard framework of stochastic thermodynamics, basically, because you have Pauli master equation, which is just the rate master equation, and you get the usual fluctuation theorem.
Yes.
But those rate master equations can be also unraveled in terms of jump like trajectories and weak measurements, which is not in the quantum optics well. Can you recover exactly this framework within your approach, or can you not do jump like?
So jump like they won't work. They will be they will have the same problem as the projective measurements, in the sense that you won't be able to define the inverse in this case. When you have jumps, it corresponds to cross operators that are not invertible matrix. So you just can't apply this. But your thermal master equation can be also unraveled in some continuous unraveling like this. And in this case, you can define. But it depends on how you are measuring your environment. So what unraveling is physically meaningful in this case.
So I guess one way of saying that is if you can track the state, in those cases where you have the jumps, you have immediate knowledge of which way time is flowing.
Yes. Right. Yeah. You can always revert the no jump parts, that is kind of not projective in some sense, but the jumps are too strong and they correspond to cross operators that are not invertible. So you can't apply this formalism.
So if you have initial conditions that average over the state space appropriately, then the absolute irreversibility would disappear, because you would now be sampling, your forward distribution would sort of get all of the trajectories, and that average would be fine.
Yeah.
So, but that's sort of in contrast to your last conclusion, which says the measurement is an absolutely irreversible process as soon as it has an effect on the system. Because in every one of those iterations of the experiment from some different initial condition, there's an effect. But now, okay. Just because, I mean, so I think it's really a statement of your initial condition being special rather than the effect of the measurement.
So, okay, we can discuss more in detail about this, but the thing is that if you just have a, okay, you just pick your initial state from some distribution, you don't, okay, you don't conserve the number of trajectories. I mean, you still have more backward trajectories because of this continuous nature of the measurement. In the only case to kind of bound the number of trajectories of backward trajectory you can have is to introduce some resolution, some finite resolution that you would have naturally in an experiment. So in an experiment, you have a finite number of initial states and final states, and you can do some. So if you have some non-zero probability to start in any of these initial states, then you have a bounded number of possible trajectories. It can be very large, of course, depending on your measurement time, but it's still finite because everything is back to a discrete picture.
Then it's a bit strange, no? Because it means that experimentally you have no absolute reversibility, but theoretically you have it. In an experiment, so you can, in principle, always reverse what you have done.
So there is the thing is that there is a, when you introduce this resolution, you do a cross-graining of what are the physical process underlying. And a cross-graining, this will result in underestimating what is the entropy point or the reversibility that is happening. So you make some, because you do this cross-graining, you do some what you will find is kind of a lower bound of what you will find if you are considering continuous case.
Okay, look, why don't we?
So the whole analysis here is based on this idea that this ratio of P forward of X over backward of X, where by backward you mean that you reverse the Hamiltonian and also apply this M to minus 1.
Yeah.
That's a quantifier of the arrow of time.
Yes.
So can you explain why that thing just quantifies arrow of time?
It tells you that if you are able to do any measurement, that is a proper measurement, it tells you if you're able to reverse this process that is your forward measurement. So if this process that is happening, that is generating this trajectory, if it is more likely the way you have observed it, or if you were able to do another measurement that will generate the backward trajectory. So in some sense, you really start from the trajectory, this sequence of states, and you say, is it physically more meaningful in this direction I have found it, or in the other direction?
Yeah, so you can formulate it like a game. If I give you the forward trajectory, or if I give you the backward trajectory, I have you guess which way is forward, which way is backward, This quantifies your ability to guess the right answer.
And what do you think is the initial condition on the backward path?
So you mean the x0 for the, yeah, as the initial state of the backward path? You will get another trajectory.
No, but what do you take in the definition of PB of x?
I take the final state of the forward trajectory.
I see. You don't take a